This year, more than any other year yet, I have had the joy of meeting friends of the Andrea children. I knew they must have lots of friends because that's the way they are. But this year, I've met some lovely people. I don't know that there's some here that I don't know. I welcome all the visitors, friends of the Andriucks. So happy to have you with us. I met people from the Thurman group. Are any of you from that group? I met people from Mountainside this year. I'm not sure. Other times. But I met people at a lovely place in Warrensburg called Lizzie Keys. I met people there that know the Andriucks. So I'm kind of being welcomed, I feel anyway, into their local circle a little bit more, and that makes me happy. So pleased to have those that are not part of the camp family in that sense. We want you to feel that way today, though, but the visitors with us, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You know, I want to read something to you, a testimony of a young man who's life was a blessing to me as a young man, and now he's grown older, and he's still a blessing to me. His name is Ron Klaus. And he wrote a testimony. He wrote a little account of the time in his life when he decided to follow the Lord in baptism, to give himself entirely to Jesus. And by the way, this was the publication of our church in New York. It's called Bread of Life. For many years, as Brother Gordon Gardner was its editor, he was the original director of the camp for the first 40 or so years, and he also edited a paper that was our church paper, and it was called Bread of Life. And in March 1960, he devoted a whole issue to water baptism, teaching on the subject of water baptism, and testimonies. March 1960. Now, these things are becoming more available to us than they were before. I believe Bread of Life is, well, it's in process, but it's being put onto the internet. And you can read these things for yourself. And there are also these ancient ripping copies around, such as I have here. But this is a really good testimony, and I don't want to take a lot of time. I don't suppose I can read the whole page without taking at least 5 minutes of your time. But this is, you know what, Ron Klaus was my first head counselor when I was in the Hopefuls. He was my counselor, Brother Ron. And he was a great blessing, and now he's still serving the Lord. He was speaking in our church just about 2 weeks ago about his missionary work in Ethiopia and how the Lord is working so mightily there. But this is as a young man, all right? Actually, he wrote this when he was a student at RPI. That's Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy. From my early youth, I had witnessed baptism over and over again. It never lost its great significance for me. I saw what it meant to people. I saw what it did for them. I was saved even at a young age, or I was awed even at a young age, to see the glory of God descend and grip the lives of the baptismal candidates as they publicly identified themselves with their Redeemer and Lover. Then came the day when I was personally confronted with baptism. "Ronald ought to be baptized," said my pastor. "Well, not this time, but at the next baptismal service," answered my mother. And so, without my saying a word, it had been decreed. How do you like that? I know that would be interesting to some of you, right? I really longed desperately to squeeze out of it because I really didn't feel as though I were ready. Yet I couldn't put my feelings into words well enough to express an objection. A little over a year before this, I had entered junior high school and with it a new stage of independence. I refused to be really identified with anyone or anything. I went along with a lot of things, but was always wary of any sort of personal commitment. I had my own ideas and ambitions. Not that I wasn't religious. I certainly, very sincerely wanted God. I claimed to have accepted him as my savior, but there were other things. I was a big shot, academically, socially, and in extracurricular activities. The world was at my feet. I had my friends and my good times. Well, that's pretty good at junior high school. He had the world at his feet. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to comment. I was in every sense of the word one of the boys, one of the good boys to be sure, but nevertheless one of the loose thinking, loose talking, loose living, life of the party boys. Righteousness never really became an issue. After all, how many Christians did I know that really lived holy lives? Besides, I was so clever. I could play the game from both ends, choosing my own way, living the way I wanted to, and still appeasing my conscience with my search after God. I don't suppose I really fooled everybody. People started to find out about me. I really wasn't fooling myself either. For despite my attempts to drown it out, there was an ever-deepening sense of frustration. The title of this article, if you look for it, is Jesus Holds the Scepter. And that means that he has the say in my life. I once held the scepter. I wanted to run things. I wanted to rule. I went my own way, but now Jesus holds the scepter. Well, it goes on. Baptism brought it all to a climax. I was trying to go two different directions, and I knew it. Moreover, with the event approaching, I had to decide, and yet there was only one decision. Baptism is like that. It brings people to a decision. That's why the modern church doesn't like it. People don't want to really commit themselves totally. They like to leave the trapdoor open and hold on to just a little flesh. They prefer a peace treaty with God to an unconditional surrender. There is nothing easy about surrender. It is always preceded by a battle. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior a while back, but as I had become aware of some of the factors involved, my puny surrender didn't cover them. So I had to fight it out all over. God only knows the extent of the battle. There was a new factor that entered, however, and became the turning point of the battle. I had been praying, Lord, I really don't want to be righteous, but if there's anything to it, let me really be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. I suppose that's not much of a prayer, but the Lord saw my honesty and showed me that there was something to it. He revealed himself. He was so wonderful. I just had to have him. But my good, sweet, religious heart was black. I really started to crave cleansing. The prayer was answered. I became hungry. By the way, in starting to read, I just have to read the whole thing. I'm just gripped by it, as I hope you are. And then, without any dramatic occurrence, I realized I wanted to be baptized. It was not something I convinced myself of. It was just there. I knew I wanted Jesus. I knew the way. You might say, I lost that battle and Jesus won. As I entered the waters that December evening, it was like placing my hand in his. His love burned within. I had gotten a glimpse of his beauty and was passionately driven to him, young as I was. With great desire, I surrendered. It was no feeling of remorse or obligation, but something I wanted to do more than anything. I thought of the explanation I gave a schoolmate. I told him that I was coming back to school the next day, a different fellow. I told him my language had to be different. I told him I wanted to stay away from questionable jokes. I told him I was going to follow Jesus. I was buried right there in the tank. My old nature passed away. Not that I became a saint overnight. Hell still contested that victory. But there was no longer any question as to who was king. I was raised up with him. Words cannot describe the glory that flooded my soul. It was done. Jesus reigned. Some may wonder about baptism and its significance. Some may question its necessity. To me, it was a day of revolution. A dirty young man was submerged holding the scepter. A clean young man arose with Jesus holding the scepter. Amen. Hallelujah. So I didn't mean to do that, but I hope that everyone got something helpful from that. Now, I've asked Brother Kenny to speak to us from the Word of God this afternoon. We all love Brother Kenny, and we're so thankful that he was here over Labor Day. He was here earlier in the season to minister, and he's been close to our hearts for many years, and I've worked together with him, and I've been so happy in the service of the Lord together serving God. One of my relatives took me to task a few years ago and told me how poorly things were going at church. I was doing very badly until someone had the bright idea, or the leading, whatever you may call it, to bring Brother Kenny on. And then everything changed. And I felt like answering a little bit about that, but I think maybe there was a kernel of truth in that, even from my perspective. And I'm just so glad that he's serving here this weekend and is going to share with us. But first, let's sing True-Hearted, Wholehearted, King of Our Lives, by thy grace we will be. 418, 418. And those of you who like to stand with me, it will surely help us to sing better if we do that. Come. Attentive to the words that you're singing on this third verse. They are very wonderful. True-hearted, whole-hearted, Savior, all-glorious, take thy great power and reign there alone. Over our wills and affections victorious, freely surrendered and wholly thine own. Seated. Amen. Amen. While he was also Brother Tom's best man. Brother Kenny, come on.
That's something, huh?
Praise God. I told Brother Eddie, from what I remember, it was his bright idea to invite me to come to New York. So he's got to get credit for something, right?
I turn things around.
Well, like my mother says, every pot has a cover. And I don't know who's the pot and who's the cover, but it's also been a joy for me to work so closely with Brother Eddie these years and his dad and others that God has brought into my life to teach me and be such wonderful examples to me. I'm really blessed to have so many people in my life that love the Lord with all their hearts. You know, there's some people that don't know anyone like that. And everywhere I look, I find people that just give themselves to Jesus and always inspire me to be all for Him. And Brother Eddie is like that and has been like that in my life, and I thank God for him as well. Praise God.